What is it that God desires? Let's pray. Father, we bless you and we thank you, God, that your word is ever enduring, never changing, always real, and it's alive. It's truth. We can stake our lives on it. So God, speak to us today by your Spirit as we've been praying and singing about Holy Spirit, you're welcome here. Have your way in our midst. Speak into our lives in Jesus' name. So every day we make choices. Every day we make positive choices. And believe it or not, if you choose, let's say for instance, you've got a person that is not so desirable and the Holy Spirit says, yeah, they might be a waste of your time. So you need to pass on this. So you make that choice. That's not a negative choice. It's a Holy Ghost choice. Anytime you make a Holy Ghost choice, a word choice, it's a positive choice. God doesn't lead us in negative ways. On the outside, in the flesh, it might look negative. But God always makes things come out so that you are on top. So, choices. And so here's some scriptures and some passages. Deuteronomy 30:11. For this commandment which I command you this day, it is not hidden from you, neither is it afar off. It is not in heaven, that you should say, who shall go for us to heaven and bring it to us, that we may hear it and do it? Neither is it beyond the sea, that you should say, who shall go over the sea for us and bring it to us, that we may hear it and do it? But the word is very nigh unto thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. The word is near you. See, I have set before thee this day life and good, death and evil, in that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply. And the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. But if thine heart turn away, so that thou wilt not hear, but shalt be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I denounce unto you this day that you shall surely perish, and that you shall not prolong your days upon the land whether thou passest over Jordan to go and possess it. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, bless you, blessing and cursing. Therefore, the word not only presents us with the choices, but it tells us what choice to make. Choose life, that both you and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave to him, for he is thy life. He's not just a figment. He's not just a concept. He's not just a tradition. He is your life. And the length of days, the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give to them. Choose. So God is saying, now, you know, there's good things that are planned out for you, but if you choose otherwise, there's the other way. So, listen, choose good. He doesn't just leave it in the air, you know, so that what? so that I can be your life. Choose life so that I can help you. Choose life so that I can take care of your seed. You can possess the land, and you can achieve all the promises and the inheritance that is out there for you. I'll help you. But if you don't, you're going to perish. Look at Joshua 24. Now, this is just before Joshua is getting ready. He's going to die. And just before he died, he said this. Joshua 24, 14. Now, therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth. Put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood. They're getting ready to go in and possess the land. So Joshua is giving them some final instructions. Their fathers severely failed. But there was a lot of work for them to do. They had conquered and they had gone in, but it wasn't all done. And they failed. They did what God told them not to do. So now Joshua is trying to bring up another generation. Put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve you the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you're going to serve. Make a choice. Whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Ammonites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, it is he that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, and which did those great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way wherein we went, and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drave them out from all of us people, even the Ammonites which dwelt in the land. Therefore we also serve the Lord, for he is our God. And Joshua said to the people, you cannot serve the Lord, for he is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins if you forsake the Lord and serve strange gods. Then he will turn and do your hurt and consume you. After that, he hath done you good. And the people said to Joshua, no, nay, but we will serve the Lord. And Joshua said to the people, you are witnesses against yourself that you have chosen you the Lord to serve him. And they said, we are witnesses. Now therefore, put away, he said, the strange gods which are among you, and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel. And the people said to Joshua, the Lord our God will we serve, and his voice we will obey. So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day, and set them a statute and an ordinance in Shechem. And Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God, and took a great stone and set it up under an oak that was by the sanctuary of the Lord. And Joshua said unto all the people, behold, this stone shall be a witness unto us, for it has heard all the words of the Lord which he spake unto us. And it shall be therefore a witness to you, lest you deny your God. So Joshua let the people depart, and every man unto his inheritance. They sincerely, with their heart, we are going to obey God. We are going to serve the Lord. We're going to obey the word. Well, when you go into the next book, the book of Judges, you'll see they did just the opposite. Amazing. Amazing. And they even confessed, we've seen how the Lord drove them out, the Ammonites and the Amalekites. We've seen it. But the appeal to the flesh, the appeal was so strong. It was stronger than their desire for God's word. Still, God seemed afar off. They didn't have that relationship, that experience. And so when push came to shove, they went back on their word. And then you see the book of Judges. Wow, it's crazy. Joshua died. And then they were like a people with no guidance. They were a law unto themselves. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Didn't matter. God's word was hidden. They chose it. It was their choice. Psalms 119:30. David says, I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me. I have stuck unto thy testimonies. O Lord, put me not to shame. I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. Teach me, Lord, the way of thy statutes and keep it until the end. Give me understanding and I shall keep thy law. I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me go into the path of thy commandment, for therein do I delight. Incline my heart unto the testimonies and not to covetousness. Just based on this scripture, what do you see in David? Pardon?
A pure heart.
What do you see? The desire to do right. David gave himself no options. He didn't look for a way around. Even in his transgressions, even when he did blow it, he didn't look for a way out or a way around. Lord, deal with me. Cleanse my heart. He was willing. He had that relationship. He had that trust. And he was willing, whatever it said, whatever it took, to follow. That's one of the reasons why the Bible says he was a man after God's own heart. He was always that way, a pure heart. Unmovable. He didn't vacillate. Psalms 119:173. Let thine hand help me, for I have chosen. He has made a determination in his life. This is the way it's going to be. I have chosen thy precepts. I have longed for thy salvation, O Lord, and thy law is my delight. Let my soul live, and it shall praise thee, and let thy judgments help me. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments. He was an honest guy. Luke. We'll go into a little bit into the New Testament here. Talking about making choices. Luke 10:38. Now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. She had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all this alone? Now, bid her, tell her, Lord, to come and help me. You can see the anxiety and the anxiousness and the care for serving, doing. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you're careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary has chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. She has chosen. And the choice that she made was a good choice. Because, you see, the bread of life was in the house. If the bread of life came to your house, I want to draw it all in. Speak to me. I need to hear what you have to say. What does it mean? Whoops. That should be mean. What does it mean to make a choice? So what does it mean to make a choice? What do you make the choice or decisions based on?
Your mind.
What does God want me to do?
Your desire.
Okay, let's think outside of the box here. Let's not be so religious. What do you make decisions based on? Well, you're buying a car.
Does it fit our desire?
Does it fit your need?
Is it
real? Or is it too good to be true? Am I being taken? We make decisions based on truth, wisdom, understanding. And when you're dealing with people, you make decisions based on the character of the person that you're dealing with. Do I know this person to be upright? A truthful person? Does he have a reputation? Maybe I shouldn't do business with him. The Holy Spirit will help you, but we have to do our due diligence. So we make decisions based on truth. We make decisions based on our moral persuasion. Okay, you have two persons, you know, and one is a drunk and a drug addict, and the other is he's a Christian, he's got good standing. We make a decision based on, it's a moral decision that we make. A word decision, because the word shapes our morality, or it should shape our morality. The word tells us how to do business, who to do business with. But basically, we make a decision based on knowledge, based on information, and based on our persuasion. We just don't make random decisions. None of us do. It seems like it, but sometimes we're so used to going and on and on and on that it's just automatic. It's default. Matthew 7:24. What does it mean to make a choice? Jesus said, therefore, whosoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man. So number one, it means to do something with the information that you have. That's your decision. I will liken him to a wise man which built his house on a rock. The decision that this person made was to do what Jesus said. He chose. And so Jesus said, this man is like a man that built a house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded on a rock. What was the rock?
Christ.
Huh?
Christ.
His word. His word. Yeah, he said, whoever does what I say is like this. So what he says and the rock are the same thing. Now, And everyone that hears these sayings of mine and doesn't do them makes the decision, chooses. I hear you, Lord. I hear what you're saying, but for me, I don't want to go that way. It's like unto foolish men. So number one, Jesus identifies people who don't do what the word says, foolish. You built this house on sand. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. You see, again, I want to give you life, stability. I want to be there to help you. So choose life. So the foolish person says, nah, I'll do it on my own. They can't stand. Jesus said, John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commandments. To keep something means that you've already brought it into your possession. And to keep it means you're not going to let it go. I've heard your word. I'm not going to let them, like David, you know, the pure heart. I'm not going to let them leave. John 14:21. He that has my commandments and keeps them, he it is that loves me. And he that loves me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself unto him. You want to get to know the Lord in a deeper way? Love his word. Love him. Keep him. Let him be everything to you. Let him be life to you. I will manifest myself to him. Judas said unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered and said to him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Gonna come, keep you company. Gonna come, be there with you. Gonna come, be there for you. So choose life, so I can help you. He that loveth me not, keeps not my sayings. He chooses. I hear the word. I hear the sayings, but nah, I don't want to go that way. He loveth me not, keeps not my sayings, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being present with me. So when you decide to make a decision for Christ, for the word, to obey it, Jesus said, you're making a decision towards the Father. You're accepting him who sent me, because I'm saying his word. And so, then he went on again. He that loveth me not, keeps not the words which you hear, and it is not mine, but the Father's. So he that, I cannot accept, and I've heard it so many times, this person, they don't go to church, they don't fellowship with Christians, but they love the Lord. No, they don't. They don't. They're not keeping his word. Right here, black and white. He that loves me, he keeps my commandments. He that doesn't keep my commandments, he hears my words and doesn't keep them, he doesn't love me. It's right there. Don't be deceived. What we believe, as I was sharing with our group earlier, it's not something that we do. Your Christianity, your walk with God, is not something that you do. Listen closely. It's who you are. It's who you are. That means it's in you. It lives in you day and night. It never changes. It's who you are. Are we not heaven's citizens? That's who you are. You are not an American. You are not Caucasian in God's eyes. You are kingdom. And see, and that's what where our persuasion needs to be. If your persuasion isn't kingdom, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, while we look not at the things that are seen, but at the things that are not seen. For the things that are seen are temporal, but the things that are not seen are eternal. So our focus needs to be on the heavenly, on the spiritual. That's where God is, on His Word. Jesus said in John 6:63, the flesh doesn't profit anything concerning kingdom. But He said, the words that I speak are spirit and life. So again, choose life. James 2:23. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called a friend of God. You see how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise also, was not Rahab the harlot justified by works, when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is so dead, so faith without works is dead also. Your persuasion. Again, Jesus said, a wise man hears my words and does them. It just doesn't stay at, he hears my words. Understand that. But a wise man is like this. He hears my words and then he puts action to him. He chooses to act on what he's heard. It's not just a thought. It's not just an imagination or a hope. It's something he puts legs to and does something about it. Action. And that's what this is saying. Abraham, his body was, and Sarah, they were beyond the normal childbearing. But Abraham made a choice to believe. And because he did, it was imputed unto him for righteousness. So your works, they begin with what comes out of your mouth. I'm going to do this, and then you do it. I believe, therefore I'm going to act. And then you act. A lot of people say, I believe, and I'm going to, but they never put feet to what they really believe. So they become a bump on a log. They become one of those that Jesus said in John 15, a branch that doesn't bear fruit. Second Timothy 1:12. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. hold fast the form of sound doctrine which you heard of me, in faith and in love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee by the Holy Ghost which dwells in us. How do you keep things? You act on them. You let them emanate out of you. You speak life into it. I have some plants that I'm growing, and I'm keeping them. I'm taking care of them. I'm gardening. I'm trimming, and I'm fertilizing, and they're growing. They're producing. That's how you keep things. If you don't, when something is entrusted to you and you don't keep it or take care of it, it'll wither away. It'll die. You will lose it. The children of Israel were guaranteed success if they would just choose life and do it. But they lost their inheritance. Maybe it was... Did you know that Abraham was a Gentile? Did you know that? He was a Gentile. Who was his family? They're idol worshippers. He was a Gentile. God called him, leave your family, get away from them. And then he went and he crossed over into another area and he became a Hebrew. Hebrew means you're like from the other side of the river. But the Jews didn't come into until Jacob and the 12 tribes. God told Abraham, you're going to be the father of many nations. Plural, right? The Jewish nation is just one. Israel, that's one nation. Many tribes, 12 tribes, but one nation. But he promised Abraham, you're going to be the father of many nations. Because, and God told him, your seed is going to be like the sand on the beaches, the sand of the sea. Look at the stars. You can't number them all. You're going to be more. But he's the father of us all. So God ultimately had a plan, which encompassed us. We're in. The Hebrews, the children of Israel, were to be the light bearers. They had that special place, but they lost that inheritance. Just a little tidbit of information.
That's good.
So, what's going to take me to my last statement here. We've been born again, true?
Yep.
What has God done to ensure our salvation? You know, your salvation isn't complete until you get to heaven. So God has given you a deposit. A down payment. It's what we were singing about this morning. Holy Spirit. He's your earnest, which is a down payment. Anybody ever go, you buy a piece of property, a house, a car, I want that. Yes, I want to put a deposit on it. That's earnest. So let me work out the financing. Then I can fulfill and purchase the possession. So we've been given a down payment. Now, a deposit is not a guarantee, is it?
Mm-hmm.
somebody can default on their agreement. The Bible tells us, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. It's not complete. So our work here, choose life. Make the right decision so that I can help you. I can help you to grow. The Father is the husbandman. He prunes. I can help you so that you can be fruitful and more fruitful, John chapter 15. So that you can glorify God. God can develop you into fulfilling your destiny, which can impact the world. Choose life. It's almost like having somebody, you know, in some cosmic, here's the lotto numbers and you're guaranteed to win. God, choose life. It's a guarantee you'll win. Leads us into all truth. The whole truth. And nothing but the truth. Father, we bless you. We thank you, Lord, that you give us the words of life. We thank you, Lord, that you've translated us from death unto life, from darkness into light. You are the light. Thank you for your word. John 1:4 that says, in you was life, and the life was the light of men. I choose life, Lord. And I'll act on it. Whatever it takes, Lord. Guide us, Lord, by your Spirit. We love you. We'll serve you. In Jesus' name, amen.